fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Mobrick. Today on Route 51, we are featuring Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, who will be talking about one of her key initiatives, Wisconsin Women Equals Prosperity. The statewide economic development initiative is the focus of a just-released progress report updating the economic status of women in our state, which was rated at a low C-minus grade only 5 years ago, a grade given by the Institute for Women's Policy Research Status of Women in Wisconsin report. Joining Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton in our studio, Marion Segrin Hall, who has helped coordinate this initiative in our area as the Central Wisconsin Regional Solutions Network core convener. Segrin Hall is also the incoming president of the American Association of University Women, Wisconsin. As always, this is a program that invites your participation, and our lines are open for your phone calls at 261-6371. That's 261-6371 or toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. That number again, 1-800-780-9742. Barbara Lawton, why the grade of C-minus 5 years ago?
Oh, the grade of C-minus was sort of a composite grade that looked at four different areas that define a woman's life and her ability to prosper. And so the Institute for Women's Policy Research devised a formula looking at key issues under the heading of leadership and political participation, economic sufficiency, educational opportunity, and health, safety, and well-being, and checked Wisconsin against the standards that they had set for women, and we achieved a low C-minus grade, and it had to do with the pay gap, and in Wisconsin at that time it was much lower even than the national average. It had to do with access to health care, with opportunities for women in education or in the workplace. So what we have done, when we got that report, which was the first appointment of my first morning in office, that mm-hmm. report was laid at my feet like a present, saying
if
that
you want to call it that.
Yeah, well, it was. It was a real gift because it was a jolt to us in this state. We can't sideline that much talent, Glenn. I mean, we have to find a way to be sure that we're getting the best stuff from all of Wisconsin's women because it's essential for our economic outlook. So,
Barbara, the C-minus grade, is that compared to other states in the union, or was it based
on
objective criteria?
We're not graded on a curve. No, we're not graded on a curve. And I don't know what the highest grade of any states that have been assessed was. It is a measure of sort of the standards by which we think that women can succeed and make their best contribution in the political and social and economic realms of society. And in those terms, Wisconsin rated a C-minus.
How do other states rate? Do you have any idea how Wisconsin is doing vis-a-vis other states in the union?
Well, lower than some, higher than not too many. When we looked at things like mental health, for instance, we rated 48th out of 50 states.
That's not encouraging.
No, it isn't. It isn't, and that's something that we've been actually working very hard on, and we have progress to report. We can't say that we've closed the book and we're getting an A, but we have driven some very important progress in this state. So this was the kind of tool that we took this assessment that they had given us, which was like getting a standardized test result, and with an impressive array of people, research teams from the UW-Madison, La Follette, experts in all fields, academics and professionals, we turned that initial report into a very precise diagnostic tool to inform our strategy to raise the grade for Wisconsin women. And then we set women and men loose across the state to get the job done. And Marion Segrin Hall is a leader in central Wisconsin in terms of turning the work that we did into an agenda for a region to say, okay, what's the most important and pressing priorities on our agenda to raise the grade for women in central Wisconsin, and off they went.
Well, why don't we ask Marion exactly how did you take this statewide initiative, and how did you localize it? How did you decide what was most important here, and how did you go about deciding that, first of all, and then implementing whatever recommendations needed to be implemented?
Okay, we had various meetings, and the people came according to the topic of that night. Healthcare seemed to be a big issue early on, and people from health community as well as women in general attended our meetings. And so we focused in that area, knowing of the concerns that Barbara has mentioned as well as the concerns that these people had.
And
May I just add, one of the interesting things is that we sort of remapped the state with these regional solutions networks. We had recommendations in those four areas that came out of the work of this whole huge team. But every region set their own priority. For instance, in northeastern Wisconsin and Green Bay, they had not a single woman on the city council. And I don't even remember if they had any on the county board, but their first priority was to get more women positioned in leadership to help lead better public policy. And in fact, that year they put 13 women on the ballot in the spring election. So each region took that set of recommendations and made it their own.
And how many regions in the state, Barbara?
I think we divided it sort of almost by media region.
12.
Is it 12?
Yeah. 12 on the map now. I think the two have been combined.
And you held forums in each of these regions and sort of did that in order to allow people to set their own agendas.
Right. Well, for that, when we held the forums, that was in the data gathering stage, mm-hmm. Glenn, where we were gathering the kind of anecdotal data that is rarely gathered that fleshes out a statistical picture and gives it meaning.
Let's go to the phones. We have someone, I believe, who was involved in the local initiatives. Is it Barbara Munson in Mosinee who's joining us?
Yes, this is Barbara.
And Barbara, say hello to Barbara Lawton and Marion Segrin Hall, and your comments or questions, please.
Well, hello, Marion, and hello, Barbara.
Hi, Barb.
I was involved with this project early on when we were setting up the Regional Solutions Networks. And I think the comment I want to make is that whatever else has happened, organizations that weren't really working together have forged some alliances that I think, and they also know who else is out there working in the state on these various issues in health and education, economic sufficiency, and leadership.
Can you be more specific? What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is that when the initiative was brought forward by the Lieutenant Governor, it was followed up by a statewide conference, and women came from many different places, and some of them came from different organizations, like AAUW, to say that they were interested in this. And AAUW, for instance, that very next year coordinated its conference with WW equals P and brought in speakers who had been active in WW equals P and therefore expanded the AAUW network to include and work with a lot of other people from a lot of different organizations.
Barbara, that is such an important observation. Glenn, for instance, with that, when we looked at the issue of women and depression and put together a very high-powered task force that created even more specific and empowering recommendations, who needs to do what, whether you're talking about in the School of Medicine, in the nursing school, in DPI, in the executive branch and the legislative branch. But the coalition we brought together to implement those recommendations ranges from the AAUW to WMC and the NFIB business organizations to the perinatal group.
WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and
yes,
Commerce?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You got this conservative Republican business group to go along with you, Barbara, on this?
Yes, we have had them working with us on a variety of things. Not on everything, but on a variety of things.
Tell me how they've helped you out.
They have helped us out on our National Depression Screening Day, for instance, in making sure that we extended an invitation to a free screening for depression to all of their members and their members' employees. That's the one that comes to mind first. So there are a variety of ways.
So you really are reaching out to people all across the board in this state.
We have cobbled together unprecedented coalitions that are looking at, here's the bottom line to this, Glenn, is that this state counts on its women in the workforce, that we are not getting, they're often underemployed or unemployed where they should be, that we are not getting their best stuff. This is an economic development initiative. How do we make sure that this state moves forward and that women are empowered to lead and to participate to their fullest? So we all will benefit from this, and everybody is beginning to understand that. And as we actually face the inevitable workforce crisis that is coming toward us, we'll see that it's not only a question of getting the best stuff of the women who are here. As we have been hemorrhaging bright young college students, the leading edge of that migration of young people is women, and the men follow them. And if we want young women to come here and to choose to stay here, then this better look like a place where they can succeed, where executive opportunities are open to them in every area. So that's, you know, we're here to build Wisconsin's economy, and the women and the men who understand the wisdom of this are hard at it.
Barbara, anything you'd like to add?
Well, I think the question I'd like to ask is regard New Directions and the young people that Barbara was talking about. I know we started out with some youth leadership projects. I know that there's been a collaboration with Elizabeth Burmaster for the STEM, and now that's changing into STEAM.
And STEM, we're talking about math and science?
Right, science, right. Technology, engineering, and math.
Right.
You'll see, if you look at the report, Glenn, you will see just a buzz of activity around the state in trying to bring more women into this area.
So Barbara, again, complete your question for us.
Well, I know that now we're moving from STEM to STEAM, which includes the development of the arts as well as science and technology, engineering. And I guess I'm wondering about where this is moving forward in terms of young people in education. And I'll just take the comments off the air.
Right. Barbara Munson, thank you so much for joining us in what is really an important conversation this afternoon.
Thank you for taking the questions. And it's really fun to be able to talk with Barbara and Marion both.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, to the first part of your question, we had two leadership summits for young people, actually designed and led by them, which was very important. And we continue to look for ways to connect young women to the resources they need to drive the changes they see that must happen by themselves. And in fact, there's a young woman in Madison who just got a $10,000 national grant working on a model program that we hope to see propagated across the state to empower young women in high school to work in a variety of ways to lift themselves above the media stereotypes that kind of contain them, and to be able to be more active participants in the civic realms of their community. So, but what we will see, the Wisconsin Women's Council working with WW equals P Inc., which is a nonprofit organization that also grew out of this initiative, are planning a year from now to have another youth leadership summit. But as I said, there are other things in motion that aren't waiting for that to happen, and different configurations, Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
We started out with a very clear focus on women and girls, but the work that we're doing on mental health parity will have an impact on families and on every family, because we all aren't distant from mental health issues in our families or our lives in some way.
And Marion Segrin Hall, anything you would like to add to follow up on Barbara's question?
Well, it reminded me of a recent program we had for AUW where we had a high school student and a college graduate who had, because we were working in the area of eating disorders and the understanding of that, the DC Everest student had done a project with that on that she showed to our group that was there. And the other student who had herself, and I guess it's not past tense, with eating disorders, deals with eating disorders, and she is now has a support group that she set up at the YMCA Aspirus.
And a lot of this is tied into women's images of themselves, correct?
Right, right. Our major function that AUW had done with a big coalition was to bring Dr. Jean Kilborn here in talking about the image of women in advertising. She was focusing on advertising. And as soon as we heard her, we knew that it was so broad-based. It includes not only eating disorders, but alcohol and drugs and of course, the major focus of the advertising.
Well, and you had, Marion, a very direct impact on something that helped change a practice in a sort of private nonprofit sector, in that a heightened awareness of the population about how important these issues are to women's health took a look at an advertisement for plastic surgery that came out of the Marshfield Clinic. And it was an ill-conceived advertisement that, if you looked at it, it sort of made you, if I looked at it as a 50-odd-year-old woman, 56-year-old woman, it was to tell me that I ought not to be content with the way I look, and they were there to help me fix that. We need to get well beyond that.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. We have to take a break, and we'll be back with more of Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. Marion Segrin Hall, who's here with us in studio, we're taking your phone calls at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
If you just joined us, our guests today are Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, and it appears that we have just lost her. We'll try to reestablish a connection with her during our upcoming news break. But we're talking about specifically Wisconsin Women Equals Prosperity. This is an initiative that is trying to improve the economic vitality and the contributions of women in our state. And we had a grade of C- 5 years ago. There's an interim report that's come out, and women have made some progress. Our guests also include Marion Segrin Hall, who's helping to implement all of this locally. And Marion, we were talking about a plastic surgery ad before the break that was put forward by the Marshfield Clinic that the Lieutenant Governor was quite critical of. And I'm wondering if you could expand on that.
Yes. The ad came to our attention with our follow-up of Jean Kilborn. And so a coalition met with two public relations people and a plastic surgery department head concerning the advertising. I think that maybe two of them understood our point of view, and the ad did come out of print and off television for a number of months. But it has unfortunately returned to television. So there are many women and men out there who are not happy with that.
And a major focus, or at least one of the major focuses in the area of health, is specifically concern about the body image that women have, and eating disorders connected with that, this drive that seems to be in society to everyone needs to look like a model, everyone needs to be thin, everyone needs to look a certain way. That's really not healthy, is it?
No.
And why is it that women are susceptible to that more than men?
You tell me. It seems to be a very much a part of our society nationwide and of all our media, not just advertising, whether it's in stories, pictures, books, leadership. And that's what this whole focus is about, is that women can do it. In fact, Barbara Lawton had given statistics saying that when companies had, this came from a Fortune 500 companies, 96 to 2000, showed that the companies with the highest representation of senior women had higher return on equity of 35.1% and total return on shareholders of 34%. The diversity in leadership in any kind of organization benefits not only diversity by gender, but diversity by race and any kind of diversity that you can mention.
And that's a hard sell to make to some people, or it has been historically.
It's much more comfortable to hire people who are like you, to work with people who are like you, than to be different.
And that's so limiting if you don't reach out to other people, because if you don't do that, if you're a business person, you're not reaching out to other markets. You're not reaching out to other places where you might be able to sell your products or services.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten away from good discussion and dialogue about issues that people disagree about, disagree with. And I think not only in WW equals P and AUW, but in other formats, people are trying to bring dialogue back.
Marion Segrin Hall, who is the incoming president of the American Association for University Women in Wisconsin, also one of the coordinators for WW equals P. That stands for Wisconsin Women Equals Prosperity. And Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton has been with us for most of the half hour. She just dropped off because of a phone connection. We're going to reestablish contact with her over our news break, and then we want to hear from you. Our phone numbers, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. We'll be back after this.
Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
We're back on Route 51, Regional Talk Radio for North Central Wisconsin on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Mobrig. Our guest today, Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, talking about Wisconsin Women Equals Prosperity. It's been 5 years in the making. We have a midterm report on the improving economic condition of women in our state and what we still need to do. Also with us today, Marion Segrin Hall. She's the incoming president of the American Association of University Women, and she's been helping implement WW equals P in central Wisconsin. We want to hear from you. 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. We've got Lon in Wausau, and he's been waiting. And Lon, I'm going to ask you to wait just a bit more, because Barbara, I do want to ask you a political question before we get back to this topic. And it concerns the woman that you helped coordinate the campaign for in Wisconsin, Hillary Clinton. How disappointed are you in the fact that she is not going to be the party's nominee?
Oh, I think there are 18 million of us who are disappointed across the nation that she's not going to be the nominee. She was a tremendous candidate, and this was an unprecedented nominating process in the Democratic Party. We engaged more people with two of the finest candidates you've ever seen, and clearly it took 50 states and, what, four or five territories to come to a difficult decision, and we're very proud of Barack Obama as our nominee. And I know that everyone I know is anxious to get to work or already at work to make sure that he becomes the next president of the United States.
Well, you have 18 million Hillary Clinton supporters, and they all really love her. How are you going to keep them in the Democratic fold in November? There's talk about some of them actually supporting John McCain.
Well, I find that hard to believe. And I think that, as one friend put it, once the swelling goes down, they will be able to see clearly. And there, I know too well what 8 years of a Bush administration has wrought on this state and this nation. And four more years, just with a name changed on the letterhead, for women will be absolutely devastating, as it will for our families and for all of us across the nation. So nobody, people may be disappointed, and it was so exciting to see a superbly, supremely qualified woman go through and really teach us that women's experience, all of those things that we haven't necessarily put on our resume before now, actually count and should be accounted for as valuable contributions to what we bring to the table. And she was compassionate and tough and smart and strategic and all of those things.
She is not, but should she be offered the vice presidency?
Well, that is a very personal question for both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and I think that we could see foreshadowing of their determination that because she has revealed herself to us fully as somebody who has so much to contribute and lead in this nation, it struck me as very interesting that in her speech on Tuesday night, she spoke about her determination to finally bring universal health care, and Barack Obama spoke about his determination to make sure she is positioned to lead that. Now, whether she leads that from the position of vice president or a leadership position in the Senate or some other position remains to be seen. I think that we will see the two of them huddle and take their considerable collective wisdom and make a very smart personal decision for both of them.
Some people criticized her speech Tuesday night, saying she should have been more gracious and had an outright concession speech. What do you think of those comments?
I think that not one of us can put ourselves in her position. Very few of the people that have criticized it have ever run for office or even run for a statewide office where you begin to approximate the pressure, and none of us have gone through what she has gone through. She was in her last moment, and she had a victory to celebrate in a primary as well as sort of a collective victory of this entire race. How we may or may not have done it is difficult to say, and I think that certainly by yesterday, when she announced that on Saturday she will suspend her campaign, that she will be fully behind Barack Obama and intent on his success, as every one of us must be as well.
A lot was made about racism in the media coverage. Do you think there was sexism in the media coverage, and do you think it was ignored?
There was. Pardon me?
Expand on that.
What was the second half of your question?
Well, do you think the sexism was not given the same attention that the racism was?
Oh, both of them were inevitable, because this is the first time we have had a highly qualified, prominent woman as a candidate for the nomination for President of the United States. It's the first time we've had a prominent, highly qualified African-American in position to be nominated for President for the United States. And quite frankly, I mean, I have, as a first woman to be elected to the position of lieutenant governor and holding the highest seat a woman has held in the state of Wisconsin, I have seen that this is a slow learning curve for the press, and we have seen that it is for the press nationally as well.
Now, that provides us with a good segue back to the topic of the day, which is Wisconsin women equals prosperity. There aren't a lot of women holding high elected positions in this state, and there aren't a lot of women holding high elected positions in the country. What's the answer to that, Barbara? What are you trying to do locally in order to change that?
We're trying to build women's resumes, lift them into view, embolden them to understand what they can do. Women tend to think that they need to be masters of everything before they step off the curb to lead in an area. We need more women leaders visible to them, and you're right, we've had fewer than 30 women governors in the entire history of all 50 states of the United States. And right now, what is it, 14% of the Senate is women? So we have to work much harder, and precisely because when women lead, it's not that gender becomes the issue. It's that the agenda changes. And if you looked for a parallel in the business world, and these are two different worlds, but in the business world, where women are in a higher, where a higher proportion of the top executives and the board of directors are women, i.e. there's greater gender diversity in leadership, the return on investment to shareholders is about 34% to 37% higher. Now, we don't look at return on investment in terms of leadership in government, but what we can look for is government that makes sense, that is effectively delivered to serve the needs of all the people. And if we're going to get that right, then we need all of those people well represented.
Very good. We're going to be back with your questions, I promise, right after this. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. Our guests today, Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton and Marion Segrin Hall, they're talking about Wisconsin Women Equals Prosperity, which is an initiative that's been 5 years in the making so far in Wisconsin, and a lot of the work still remains to be done. Lon Newman, I believe, has been waiting very patiently. Lon, you've been involved in some of the health issues concerning women.
I have. You know, Glenn, I was a little afraid with where the slow learning curve, and then that's an excellent segue, and I was afraid you were going to introduce me right then. You know, here's an excellent segue to Lon, a slow learning curve. So I want to tell this one story about Lieutenant Governor Lawton while I'm on the, Lieutenant Governor Lawton and leadership. When the Lieutenant Governor was first elected, and remember, she's the first woman elected to be Lieutenant Governor, not the first woman Lieutenant Governor, she convened a group of reproductive health care advocates, a very small group. I don't know why I was in there, and I didn't get coffee or anything. But anyway, so she convened a very small group of people to talk about strategies and where we were going in terms of access to reproductive health care. And she was cleaning out the office from Lieutenant Governor Margaret Farrow, who had succeeded Lieutenant Governor Scott McCallum, and pulled a golden satin sash out of a little drawer and put this sash on. You know, the Lieutenant Governor is quite dignified and tall, and put this golden sash on. And then from another drawer in her desk, she said, well, maybe Scott McCallum used this. She pulled out a toy fairy wand, which when she waved this wand, it went bring, bring. And so here you have to picture this. So the Lieutenant Governor says, we will have contraceptive equity, bring. We will have equal pay, bring. We will have health care access, bring. We will have mental health parity, bring. It was a delightful experience.
And we're moving toward it. You know, the Family Planning Council, that started, Glenn, we know that there isn't a single physician in the state of Wisconsin who could tell you honestly that it's good for a woman to have 12 to 18 live births, but without access to family planning care, that's what would happen. And so I convened a group of people who are providers of care, and then the division heads that connect to that in our Department of Health and Family Services to say, how are we doing? And how are we getting to all of the women who need access to care? And are we making the best use of our resources, which is also very important? And this group made a variety of recommendations to me that we forwarded to the Secretary of the Department of Health and Family Services, and she decided to bring this in as an advisory group. So this is one of the triumphs, of the many triumphs of Wisconsin Women Equal Prosperity, that whether we're talking about certifying women-owned businesses, finally, for the first time in Wisconsin, to the buzz of activity, bringing more women into leadership position, creating a database of women prepared to serve on boards and take high-level appointments from governors or mayors, to opening the doors to good health care and what is integral, critical, central to a woman's well-being.
Now, we've done
a lot, but we've got some ways to go.
When you talk about reproductive health care, invariably the question of abortion comes up, and
mm-hmm.
it's a very controversial question, not just in Wisconsin, but across the whole nation. There are a lot of people who, frankly, want to see the procedure banned, and there are a lot of them in conservative areas of the state, like Wausau, Wisconsin, and don't their voices need to be heard?
Oh, their voices are heard regularly. And in fact, though, we must remember, Glenn, that this is protected by law and that our Supreme Court has confirmed that women have the right to privacy in their medical decisions and the right to access to a legal abortion. And let me tell you why that is so important. Without women having, and we go back to the need to have control over our reproductive cycle, that this is just critical health. And there are contraceptive failures, and there are rapes and other things where you may end up in a situation with a need for an abortion. But what is essential here to recognize is that before women had access to legal contraception and to a legal abortion, employers argued that they had the right to pay them less because they were unreliable. They might just go and get pregnant, and then where would the employer be? And in fact, even as I was a woman, young woman coming of age in the 70s, women were still fired for being pregnant in our school system. So once women have access to legal contraception and to a legal abortion, and the right to privacy in their medical decisions, we remove any arguments to pay them less. And equal pay for equal work is right, becomes the reality that it should be, or the doors are open for it to be a reality and no excuses left. But it goes further than that, Glenn. In the state of Wisconsin, across the country and across the world, violence against women is a huge issue. Here, the economic impact on the state of Wisconsin is significantly over $100 million a year, continued violence against women. But it, what happens is if we don't acknowledge a woman as an autonomous citizen with the right to privacy in her medical decisions and control over reproductive cycles, if we treat her as less than a full citizen, then we give tacit approval for anyone to treat her
as a lesser being
and kick her like a dog.
Do individual communities have a right to regulate access to abortion? And I'm asking this, and Lon Newman, I'd like you to comment on this as well. We all know the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion, at least in the first trimester. But yet, practically speaking, in Wisconsin, you can't get an abortion in central Wisconsin or northern Wisconsin.
No, there are only three or four counties, actually, where there are physicians performing it. And that is a very sad statement in terms of women's health. But what is important here, Glenn, and I think that we ought to go back to this, is that reproductive health care, our reproductive organs for women are at the core of their body, and this is the core of their health care. And we have to ensure that women have access to highly qualified, good reproductive health care. It's the center of their well-being.
Lon Newman, I want you to weigh in on this issue before we let you go, because we are down to our last 8 minutes or so of the program.
Right. Well, as somebody who practices in the field, I think that all contraceptive methods fail, and there's some level of contraceptive failure. So I think part of the issue here is to recognize that many, many women, for many, many reasons, with which the Lieutenant Governor's articulated better than I, spend most of their reproductive lives trying to prevent unintended, unwanted pregnancies, and yet sometimes things go wrong, and there are many, many serious consequences which that woman is in the best position with her family or a priest or pastor, whoever she wants to take into her, or physician who she takes into her confidence, she's the best person to make that decision. But I think we tend to be In the public policy realm, the discussion is often kind of abstract and tends not to take into account the realities of these women's lives. And as I work in this field, and I don't, you know, individually meet with women who get a positive pregnancy test that they hadn't expected or hoped for, but I can tell you that those women have a very difficult decision to make, and I think that we have to recognize the difficulty, complexity of that decision and protect that legal access. I would also only add to Barbara's comments that in Wisconsin, physicians even anymore are not routinely trained in emergency abortion procedures, so that, you know, if somebody had an emergency termination that they needed at a hospital, her chances of having that, having a physician able and prepared to perform that is fairly low, and that would be a true tragic circumstance. So there are circumstances where women, for urgent medical reasons, need to have a termination, and I think we failed on at least those two angles.
Well, this is a topic for an entire hour-long program, but it is part of this initiative as well. And
let's get back to, excuse me, Glenn, but I think it's very important to come back to connecting the issue of violence against women to the status of women. If we don't afford a woman and officially recognize with our laws and our Constitution the full status of a woman as a citizen, then we give tacit approval to treat her as a lesser being, and it not only affects her safety and the safety of her children, but all of ours, because what we have discovered, Kim Campbell, the former Prime Minister of Canada, tells about a study done in Canada in the maximum security prisons. 90%, 92%, something like that, of the men in the maximum security prisons witnessed violence against women, violence against their mothers as children. And when you consider that young man who shot and killed a principal 18 months ago, and then remember that his father had an arrest record on criminal domestic violence, that these are issues of personal and state security for all of us. So we have made strides in, as you look at the report, and people can go online to the Lieutenant Governor's website, ltgov.wisconsin.gov, and see the strides we've made in that area, but we have a long way to go to eliminate violence.
Barbara, first of all, I want to thank Lon Newman for calling in. We've got two other calls, and I want to get to them real quickly. Ethel in Wausau, you're on Route 51. Your comment, and please make it quickly.
I just was looking for a clarification. It was described that there was an empowerment model that's is being used out of Madison. Somebody's got a grant for it, but it's being used statewide. But you didn't clearly say what that model was. Could you please share that information?
Who wants to take that?
Barbara?
I'm not sure if she is referring to the the model being designed and created right now with young women. Mm-hmm. In Madison, she can write to us at our office, and we can connect her to Natalie, who has organized a group called SOS. There's another one, Project Girl, that works with young women to help them learn to decode the media messages that might undermine their confidence in their health and well-being and self-images. And that has been a very effective program in working with middle school age girls. Okay. So any lingering questions, we would welcome in my office.
Okay, thank you so much.
Ethel, thanks so much for the phone call. Let's go to John Smart, I believe, in Park Falls.
I'm here. How are you, Glenn?
I'm doing well, but I'm running out of time.
I know you are, and I wanted to just really call and thank the Lieutenant Governor. She was just up in northern Wisconsin for another program that's near and dear to her heart, as I know, and that is the Wisconsin Task Force on Arts and Creativity and Education. There was some talk before about turning STEM into STEAM, and I'm a school board member, as you know, Glenn, and this is very close to my heart, too. And I just wanted everybody to be aware of it, and if we could get the Lieutenant Governor to speak about that for just a couple of minutes, I'd be very grateful.
We don't have a couple minutes. You've got about 30 seconds, Barbara.
All I would say, both the issue of making sure that all of our children's creative capacities are developed so that they can be the innovators that they must to thrive in a 21st century global society, that's boys and girls alike, and the WW equals P is all about making sure that Wisconsin's talent is unleashed and that this state's economy can grow, because we know that our workforce is our competitive edge, and we have a heritage of original thinking across all sectors, and we just want to set it all in motion.
John, thanks so much for the phone call. And Barbara, if people want to find out more about WW equals P, what can they do?
They can find more on my website, which is ltgov.wisconsin.gov. They can link over to the Wisconsin Women's Council, where the nonprofit organization and the kind of movement of the regional solutions networks, the AAUW, Marion Segrin Hall, has been the state's finest leader in this. And she and Barbara Munson, who called in earlier, have really had their shoulder to the wheel for 5 years.
And finally, Barbara, are we doing better than a C minus?
Yes, we are doing better than a C minus, but I'm still only earning 78 cents on the dollar that you're earning, Glenn, so we're still at work.
Well, if you're using me as a comparison, you're in bad shape indeed. We want to thank today's guests, Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, Marion Segrin Hall, incoming president of the American Association of University Women. Thanks for all your phone calls. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. And that's it for us. Thanks for riding along with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.